We are starting hour number three. Then we got The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy coming up next hour. And I'll be leaving a little bit early. Got to catch a flight tonight. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving anywhere until I hear from Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox. Charles, how are you, sir?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? You got Lincoln coming on?
Yeah, each and every week we do a hour talking about the Raiders with Lincoln Kennedy. Link's one of my favorites. I used to do a show with him every week when he played with the Raiders. And,
okay.
What a great guy he is.
He's absolutely wonderful, and it's just really hard to beat. He has one of the all-time nicknames as a player. Remember the Oval Office, Lincoln Kennedy? I mean, it was outstanding.
Yeah.
I used to love that one, and I've got to clue you guys in on something real quick before we start our regular stuff. I had Tampa Bay last week, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. So we're having our meetings on Friday, our production meeting with the Tampa Bay staff, Dirk Cutter, the head coach, et cetera, et cetera. We get done, and a lot of these pro teams are very gracious to you as broadcasters, where you'll have your production meetings or you may have a gap between meeting someone. They'll say, hey, why don't we grab some lunch here at the cafeteria, you know, at our dining hall. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting down to have lunch, and they have the TVs on in the dining hall area, and one of them's on the local news in Tampa. And you know those big inflatable, you know, Frosties or Rudolphs or whatever that you put
in people's yards
in the holidays?
Yeah.
So I've been wanting a Frosty for 20-plus years, right? So we finally got one. My wife agreed to get one last year. She doesn't want it at all. I think she thinks it's extremely tacky, but tacky is me.
Right.
Okay? And Frosty actually breaks into song at different times, and I am firmly convinced that the Frosty we've got is a brother. Because when he breaks in and he busts out, he comes out real aggressive, Frosty, the snowman. And I mean, it's just one of the greatest things for me. And my wife, I think, is eternally embarrassed.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm a little worried about Frosty and his longevity. So I'm watching this on TV, and there was a news item where someone had video at their house. They had the inflatable Frosty, and some kid shanked Frosty.
Oh, come on.
And they caught it on video. He goes by, tries to be slick about it, puts the shiv in Frosty, and all of a sudden Frosty is going down, and I'm in horror looking at this.
Oh, my gosh.
And I immediately called home, called the kids, and said, security for Frosty. I need security. I need the perimeter closed.
That's beautiful.
Whole deal. And especially watch your mother, because I think she might be the one that might shank Frosty.
You're a beauty. That is a classic.
No, but on TV, I believe it was here on Good Day Sacramento or a news channel, somebody cut a pig's throat. It was a pink pig.
Come on.
I'm telling you, man, just like this shank, it was one of those things in the front yard, Charles, and someone sliced them up. They're going around doing that, man.
I mean, it's really, you know, here it is, the season of good cheer. You know, well wishes to all, the whole thing. And we got people shanking Frosty and cutting the pig's throat. Now, if it's a legitimate pig, if it's for real and all of a sudden we're going to eat, you know, now we got something to talk about.
Wow.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm you know, some people aren't down with the swine. I'm digging the swine.
Man, that's
okay?
You're
so
a beauty.
I'm going to eat the bacon, trust me on that one. But when you shank Frosty,
oh my gosh,
you've gone too far now.
Well, you were just talking about Tampa, and they've won five in a row. And I got to tell you something. They could just turn Big D upside down if they go in there. Let me tell you something, man. If those Tampa Bay Buccaneers go into Big D, let me tell you, I know who's playing quarterback the next week. But really, this is going to be what about Tampa? How do you think they match up with Dallas?
Well, I think that they match up. But the confidence level is so high there. And you guys know that when you go into certain places, you can tell the air around the organization. You know, let's say you went in and you had no idea what the record, but if you just walked through the building, you'd know what the record is,
right?
Or you'd know where they are, right? Because you can just feel the whole organization, which takes its cue from the team, whether they're winning and losing. And right now, I'm telling you, people walk around with big grins on their faces. People have got a nice step, you know, a little extra, you know, pep in their step when they're moving around, the whole deal. Here's where I think that they have a shot at Dallas. You're catching Dallas where rookie guys have carried them all year long or been the focal point. And you always talk about rookie wall. I don't know if it's real or if it's not. But focal point can be a heck of a lot of pressure on a young guy. And when you're playing quarterback And early on, things were kind of rocking easy, weren't they?
Yes,
Handed
they were.
Zeke, we move along. Hey, I'd make a big play there. I thought that Dak Prescott did an excellent job against Minnesota when he didn't have his best stuff, but used his legs at different times to pick up key first downs, made a couple key throws later. That, to me, it was the maturation of a young quarterback. Battle your way through a game where you don't have, where things aren't easy. That's when I find out if you're a quarterback. Well, he had another one with New York, and they didn't win it. And as you just pointed out, Grant, now the pressure kicks in because, hey, Tony Romo's healthy, and if he throws three picks, here comes Tony, and blah, blah, blah. I saw a tweet from Brady Papinga, who played in the league for a long time, an excellent linebacker,
absolutely,
really good dude. I think he analyzed the game very well. He said if they really want to tamp down the pressure on Dak Prescott, if you really are truly committed, deactivate Tony Romo rest of the season.
Oh.
Notice that's not going to happen.
Not a chance.
Okay? And I know what he's saying, but the Cowboys are also going to say back, look, if something happens to Dak, if we deactivate Tony, he's better than Mark Sanchez. Come on now. We got to be ready in case of that, because we got a chance to make that kind of a run. But Tampa, I think, matches up confidence-wise. If they hold Zeke down a little bit to where he's not gashing them. Remember last week he had 107 yards, but only one big run, and that was 15 yards. So he didn't just break them down. So if they can do that and start to get after the passer, because Gerald McCoy's playing real well inside. You got Noah Spence, who's coming off the edge better now. They're doing a nice job. Robert Ayers moves inside to D-tackle. So you've got chances there, and that defense has gone from giving up 29 points per game, guys, and then over the last five games, they're averaging giving up 12 points per game. And I'm telling you, it's not fool's gold. They're playing better, and a little-known safety named Keith Tandy, over the last three games, has played as well as any safety in the NFL, and yes, that's not hyperbole. It's three games sample, but he's playing really well, and Chris Conte, the guy he replaced due to injury, I don't expect Chris Conte to get his job back anytime soon. Tandy's playing too well.
Wow. No Gronk, no Amendola, Trey Jackson, Garoppolo out, Tom Brady, 496 yards, MVP. What say you, Mr. Charles Davis?
He's in the race, Doug.
He's in the race.
He has to be in the race. He has to be a consideration. I know people have been trotting out the thing that no quarterback has missed four or more games has ever won an NFL MVP. You know, I go back to a great Peanuts comic that Charles Schulz did years ago, where Lucy was giving Charlie Brown all this grief about different stats in baseball. I don't know if you guys remember this one at all. It's one of my favorite ones. You know, Charlie Brown such and such did this, and, you know, they averaged this, and they averaged that, and finally Charlie Brown looks at Lucy and says, Lucy, tell your statistics to shut up. That's one of my favorite ones, because at times, we have to remind ourselves of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes the stats don't mean everything. Let's find out how we're going to play. Let's see where we're going to go with that. Tom Brady, I say we throw out that missing four games and talk about what he's done since then. I think the people who will vote against him or not for him will say, well, they won 3-1 without him to begin with. Yeah, but they also had a whole lot more weapons at that time than they do now, too. Look, Chris Hogan is turned into a player, being with Tom Brady. This is what great quarterbacks do, guys that you don't think about before become factors. Edelman, of course, he took a little bit of a chewing the other night, didn't he, because he didn't do it the way Tom wanted it done.
Yeah. Yep.
He got right after that, didn't he? Martellus Bennett has been a Pro Bowl tight end anyway, so I'm not surprised he's going to continue to have success. But Tom Brady has a way of elevating people around him, making them better. He's in that conversation, guys. I think he's in it. I think that Derek Carr is still in it from Oakland. I think that Matt Ryan, you know, with a big finish, is in it. Matthew Stafford never gets the credit he deserves out of Detroit. I think that if you go in defense, it'd be hard to go against Khalil Mack with the season that he's having in Oakland. So plenty of people in it. And, of course, Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, the way that they've started, let's not discount them at all as well.
Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. You've got San Francisco and Atlanta. I'm just thrilled for you that the game's not in San Francisco, because I don't like you doing big-time NFL games in front of 10,000 people. So, you know,
we
know Atlanta. Now, here's Atlanta. They control their own destiny right now. And, you know, say what you want. We just spent a lot of time talking about Tampa. We're trying to figure out who might be the second seed. And I'm automatically giving it to Dallas, but let's just, you know, for sake of argument. You know, and then we talk about, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, 8-5, and you finish the sentence. Do they excite you at all?
They do more than they have in the past. I mean, and the reason I say that is I see more consistency on defense. Okay, look, guys, over the last X number of years, since John Abraham left the city of Atlanta and took his pass rushing, I believe, to Arizona for a short time before ended up retiring, he was the last guy who had double-digit sacks in a season for the Atlanta Falcons, and that, I believe, was 2012. This year, Vic Beasley has gotten into double digits. First time they've had that legitimate pass-rushing threat. Dwight Freeney has struggled with some injuries, but when healthy, he's still shown flashes of being Dwight Freeney. So, yes, they've been inconsistent at times with it, but over the last few years, no one worried about the Atlanta Falcons' pass rush. Last year, they had 19 sacks total for the season. So the bar was low in increasing it, but now they've got some guys they can turn loose. Dan Quinn is the head coach and defensive play caller. He's very creative in how he turns guys loose. And as long as you don't shred them running the ball, and so far I think they've only had one guy with a 100-yard game against them, then you've got a chance to get those exotic looks that Dan likes, those overloads, finding a way to get Beasley schemed up and free. And the best part was they got him with his hand out of the dirt on first and second down. See, last year he's playing defensive end, and he's too light in the behind. He's an outside linebacker now.
Right.
That's what he's supposed to be playing. Look, he played at Clemson. They kept trying to tell him, oh, he plays 230. He played at Clemson, 215, 220 pounds. So speed is his forte. That's who he is, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't try and force him or try and fool people with making him something different. But let's face it, Dwight Freeney being in the room with you each and every day, yeah, if you don't try and get an education there and get better there, there's something wrong with you. And by all accounts, Beasley and the rest of that room are listening to Dwight Freeney and trying to pick up tips, and they're getting better. That's why, Grant, I like Atlanta better this year. Last year, no pass rush. It didn't surprise me at all that they went from a 5-0 start and ended up 8-8.
That's why I like being on the radio with you, because of the education.
Absolutely.
Charles. So what is the L.A. Rams? They're probably going to need somebody sexy. They're going to need someone who is a quarterback's coach. Two names that I'm interested in, they're just being thrown out there. I want your take on it. Jim Harbaugh, John Gruden.
Well, look, both of them would be home run hits for all the reasons you just said, Doug. It is Los Angeles, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you as a basketball player, and you can help move this forward. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, Magic, Kareem, et cetera, won all those titles, right? All those great battles with Boston, Philly, et cetera, okay?
Yep.
If those Lakers win the same exact number of titles during that time frame, but they're playing Hubie Brown, call every set, half-court basketball, does L.A. embrace them the same way?
No.
That's my point, and that's been my belief as well. Go back to the draft last year. They went from 15-1 to get the quarterback Jared Goff.
Right.
I think if they're in St. Louis, Doug, they don't make that move. Not from 15-1.
Gotcha.
They had
Splash.
To make that move going to L.A. You know, it's like Nuke Lelution in Bull Durham. I like to announce my presence with authority.
You're the
and
best.
And that's what they did. It's L.A. You've got to understand that. You need to win, but you also need to do it with some flair, and you need to have some recognizable people. That's why when you mentioned John Gruden, Jim Harbaugh, you get L.A. is going to kick the tires on coaches like that. Whether they're interested or not, it's a whole other thing. I think Harbaugh had a statement today to his players that these rumors about me going there are just lies that our enemies are putting out. And I love Jim. I love how he comes at it. It's almost like Genghis Khan talking to his guys going into battle.
That's right.
John's name comes up each and every year.
Yeah.
Whether he has that interest, whether he has that itch, I can't begin to tell you, but he's going to analyze things, I believe, and this is just my own personal belief, having known him for a long time. Does he believe in the quarterback? Does he believe in ownership? Remember, John got fired in Tampa after a 9-7 season.
Yeah.
So he's going to cast a wary eye towards who's owning the team and what are we going to do. One thing I would say to him, if he asked me, and he's not going to, one thing you could be able to say to the Los Angeles ownership is, boy, you guys hung in there with Jeff Fisher a long time and never even got to 500. So why don't we talk about that model, and maybe you've got my attention if John would believe in the quarterback. That he'd have to analyze himself.
We're talking with Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, and you saw the Cowboys and the Browns play a couple of weeks ago, and after that game, we talked about the ineffectiveness or the laissez-faire attitude that we perceived that Dez Bryant played with that in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how talented he is. And I got to tell you, you know, if you watched the game on Sunday and you didn't know who Dez Bryant was,
yeah.
I mean, really, you wouldn't have any idea that he was on the field, and then he did
right.
catch a ball and he fumbled. But
right.
what is this more a Prescott, Bryant? And again, I know they've had yeah. you know hookups in the past and they've had touchdowns, but in big games, where doesn't Dez Bryant got to be more active in a game like Sunday night?
He does, and I think it's going to be one of those things that we'll have to keep our eye on. I think the Cowboys, I think Jason Garrett behind closed doors is agonizing over it too. How much do I force it in play calling, he and Scott Linehan?
Right.
How much do I force the hand in play calling to have Dez touch the football? Because you can have it both ways. When you have a guy like Dez, you may very well say, darn it, I write it down. Oh, remember Mike Tice with the Randy Moss ratio that backfired on him about how many times Randy had to touch it? It backfired on him. It didn't go as well as he wanted it
That's
to
right.
go. But you also have other times when you say, that guy has to touch it. Let's get creative. Let's make sure he does it, and he'll shred a defense. The thing that I'm looking at with him is, and Linehan and Garrett are very intelligent guys, look at Detroit this year. No Calvin Johnson, so Matt Stafford doesn't go back on every pass and say,
right.
okay, where's AD1? And if I have any type of a matchup I like, I'm going to force it in that direction. Now he goes where the reads take him, where he thinks the open man is, and he could not be having a better year. So it's got to be weird for Calvin going, well, I finished third in Dancing with the Stars, and now my team's winning games?
right.
What the heck is going on
yeah.
here? But there is something to walking that line about how much you force things and get your offense out of sync, because after a while it's almost like half-court basketball where you're going to force it to that star, and everyone else stands around and watches him
yeah.
beat it to beat, you know, put it on the deck, do, take the shot. And after a while, guys lose a little interest. That's what Dallas is going to have to be careful with.
You know, and again, I give credit to the Giants. I mean, in two games, Dez Bryant has caught two balls for 18 yards.
Janoris Jenkins.
That's wow. exactly right. But I've also seen, you know, Janoris Jenkins, you know, get beat by some receivers that are not nearly
me.
As good as Dez Bryant. I mean, we saw Terrell Pryor just 2 weeks ago in Cleveland. He had a field day against Jenkins. And we're talking yeah. about the Browns, for crying out loud. And
some
Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Grant. Just real quick, some of those guys are those guys that raise their game to the level of that guy they're playing.
Competition.
And don't have the interest they need to have against other guys and embarrass
yeah.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the better the receiver, the more
yeah.
I bet on the Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, and that, you know, but again, if I'm looking
and
at
that's
this.
That's the unfortunate side.
You know,
he needs to do it consistently.
Yeah, and that, you know what, that is a great point. But if I'm looking at this from a Cowboys fan's perspective, Dez Bryant is your power up hitter. He's
yep.
your guy that with one swing of the bat, he's your guy. He's your home run hitter. And I'm just wondering, and again, I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here.
Right.
As good of a regular season as Dallas is having, can they win in the playoffs without Dez Bryant having some home runs? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they can.
I don't know if they can either, because they've got to get some breakouts and some easy shots downfield.
Yes.
They've got to be able to do that to take everyone out of the box with Zeke. Because the playoff game slows down, the plays become more precious. Teams that operate at running a play every 24 seconds now will probably operate at running a play every 26. And while that doesn't sound like much, that means that's one less play, another less play.
That's
right?
a good
Coming
point.
Off the car. And now you've got to maximize every snap you have. So average team gets, what, about six possessions per half? You know, in the NFL, like last week I had New Orleans and Tampa. They were number two and number three in the league in terms of number of plays per game. Both of them around 68 plays per game. So that means most people are getting like 60. Now we get into playoff football. You might get 55. So you
Right.
better have someone who can break someone down, and on third and whatever, by God, you're going to have to make a play. I don't care if they kick coverage to you. I don't care what they do. I'm throwing it out there, and that catch radius shows up, and Dez makes that play and houses it. And now we've got something going, because you got to open up the lanes for Zeke again. Because, look, I think the pressure of being the focal point of that team is shifting on the Cowboys now. Early in the season, it was fun and games with Dak and Zeke, and wow, this NFL thing's pretty good, isn't it? This is all right. And now people are coming at them differently. They're coming at them harder. They're a little bit tired. It's been a long year. A lot of press is in their face now, and they're hitting that natural, I'm not going to call it a lull, but that natural extra set of pressure that's coming their way. Now, are you going to be able to make those plays, as you said, Grant, playoff time. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? They're in playoff time already if they want to secure the division title and home field, because that loss the other night brings the Giants back into it.
Sure does.
See, if Dallas ends up dropping a couple and they end up tied, guess what, folks? The Giants win the division. Giants have swept Dallas.
Yep.
That changes the whole dynamic about what you're doing. Before the game, all we were hearing out of Dallas, and people were asking Dallas, well, are you going to rest people? Are you going to give Tony Romo some snaps?
Great point.
What are you going to do with Zeke?
That,
what are you going to do here? Guess what? No one's asking a single one of those questions right now.
It's a great point.
They've got to win games.
Yes. 525, it is time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the entire family. With Charles Davis. Charles, interestingly enough, I want your take because it's a football side of things, but we're having some issues with the Kings in Sacramento. And I look at two players and the Patriots, an incredible organization, and tell me, how do they find these type of guys? LeGarrette Blount, cut by Tampa, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Deion Lewis, Cleveland, and Philly. But they continue to find these guys that come in. And those are the type of guys, Grant, we're looking here in Kingsland for players to add around DeMarcus Cousins and to be productive. How do these guys in the Patriots continue to do this?
The most amazing thing for me with New England, and they do it without fanfare, without bugles blaring, the whole deal, is they identify what you do very well as a player and match it up with what they need and what they want with their scheme.
Ah, system.
And they tend to minimize what you can't do and maximize what you can do. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of places look at what you can't do. Well, I don't know if we can make him better and what have you. And New England's like, yeah, but in our scheme, if I want I want LeGarrette Blount to run over people, control the clock, eat up time, get big carries, and I'll take that. See, when he was with other places, they were like, God, what are we going to do with LeGarrette on third down? He can't pass protect. He can't catch the ball very well. Can't put him on the field. Can't do that. And New England's like, I don't care about third down. I want first and second down. I'm going to hand it to the big horse.
Right.
Okay? Deion Lewis. Okay, quick, shifty, can I throw it to him?
Mm-hmm.
Can he run it inside for me? Can he do those things? Oh, yeah, that works out pretty well for me. He's an extra weapon for us. What can he do? Well, he can't really pass protect because he's not a big guy. And he can't. Well, I'm not worried about that. He won't be in on those downs.
Right.
And that's what they do. They also do it so well as to not totally tip play calling. And that's a fine art, because when you have guys with different talents, you get a read on them and you get the tape dug.
Yep.
Okay, this guy's a third down guy. This guy does this. This guy does that.
You know automatically.
They break tendencies enough that you can't make it an automatic. You can suspect it, but you can't just go, well, he won't do that on this
for
play.
Sure.
And sure enough, he does, and you get nailed on it. Hmm. They are incredible at just saying, this fits our scheme. What he does works for us. And then they coach him up and develop him. And all of a sudden, Rob Ninkowski, who was an undersized guy, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. Oh, he rushes the pass, has a knack of getting to the passer. Well, that's what we're going to do for us. And look at the career he's had.
Charles, you may never talk to me again. You know, the Kings are in Dallas this weekend, and I'm bringing nothing but my Giants gear. So,
listen, man, that's what you got to do. I mean, that's love, all right? And that's loyalty, and that's devotion.
Right.
And you know something, Grant? I wouldn't expect anything less.
He's got some on right now, Charles. He's already prepped and
ready to
go.
I'm ready for the flight tonight. By the way, Mark Spears was on with us last hour, and he wanted us to say hi to you.
Yes, hey, you tell Mark hello. He's been a great, great man in my career through time.
He's awesome.
Looked out for me and the whole deal. And he's one of my heroes out there as well. He's a good, good man and a tremendous writer.
Yes, he is. Hey, Charles, you're the best. Have a great week. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
you. Hey, you guys
do
the same. Be safe traveling.
Thank
Grant,
you.
Doug, we'll talk to you later.
You got it, my man.
All right. That's Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. We'll be right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy. Coming up at 6 o'clock. Why don't we get to Anthony, who's been on hold for a while. Anthony, what's going on?
Hi. I just wanted to touch on Garrett Temple, first of all. That was the first thing I wanted to talk about. Every time Garrett steps on the floor, I feel like he's probably one of, if not the most consistent players that the Kings have. But then if you look to starting Garrett, what do the Kings do off the bench?
That's a tough one. I agree with your first comment. Yes, he is extremely consistent. I love what he brings energy-wise. Everything that I just love Garrett Templeton and what he does for the King. But I agree it's a tough one. Grant and I talked about this. Jaeger, I think he likes him off the bench, so starting him then takes away that little oomph, that you know, all of a sudden that burst that he will bring in the game. Or if he allows Jaeger to look and see who's going well, he can put him in defensively on them. It's a tough one to start him.
And then also I wanted to talk about the Kings' effort, because sometimes, you know, depending on which game, it seems like certain games the Kings actually have the team and the pieces to compete and possibly slip in there on the back end of the playoffs. But at the same time, sometimes they come out and they look like a whole different team. But also to touch on what the other callers were saying about the players and the players that have been brought in around DeMarcus Cousins, when you look at those players, you see players, in my opinion, that are right below the level of what the Kings need to push over that hump and get back into the playoffs. You have players like Beno Udre and just players that, I mean, the Kings don't sign big splash players, but us being diehard fans, every year we see the signings and we're like, okay, well, last year it was Rondo and Marco Bellinelli, and this year we were like, okay, well, here comes Aaron Aflalo and a couple other people. But it turned out that Temple was the best signing.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for the call. I've been very disappointed in Aaron Aflalo because I thought he was one of the best players in the preseason. Like, I was just like, wow, man, the Kings had themselves a stud two guard, and he's been the most disappointing player on the team, in my opinion.
Yeah, you and I both talked about the fact that finally, we were going to be able to lock up the two-guard position, and we weren't going to have to worry about it. And he has just been vastly inconsistent this year, and hopefully he finds that consistency. Agreed with the caller, but when I look at it, whether it was Scott Pollard, Bobby Jackson, Hedo, myself, all of a sudden you brought in names that might not have been those big names, but it's how you make that mix together and how to Charles Davis's point, how you find those players that do the things that you need. And sometimes you have to ignore what they don't do and look at what they do do.
All right, if you want to text the show, 44-11-40, like this one said, I bet Grant hates my text. Can't stop, won't stop. Well, go ahead, keep on texting me.
Did I just say doo-doo?
I don't know.
I did say doo-doo. My bad.
That's okay. It's all right. but again, if you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I'm going to be taking off at 6:30 tonight. Doug will take us up to 7 as I got to head to the airport. The Kings are already in Houston getting ready to take on a Rockets team that is real good. And they're rested. And Kings better be ready to go tomorrow, because the Houston Rockets are going to come out and they're going to shoot the ball. They're going to give layups no looks. They're not even. They're going to get to the basket, and then instead of taking an easy two, they're going to kick out for three. And if you get them on a night, and Doug made a great point earlier, if you get them on a night where collectively they're not really shooting the threes well, they're very beatable.
Yes, that's why you, against a team like this, you can't overhelp, Grant. If you overhelp, that means someone is going to be open. So it's imperative that you keep your guy in front of you. You might even need to give him a little extra space, not really daring him to shoot the three, because you don't want that. You want to be able to contest it.
Yep.
So you want to be close, but you can't let him get by you, because once they get by you, it breaks down. You get in the lane, you have to get help, and then that starts the rotation, and they're knocking them down.
You know, and Clint Capella played well the last time I saw him in the middle. With Trevor Ariza's going to shoot, Ryan Anderson's going to shoot, Eric Gordon's going to shoot, James Harden's going to shoot, you know, or whoever else they got lined up to play. I mean, they're going to come at you. Somebody said, why not ask Charles Davis about the Raiders? Well, first of all, we have asked Charles Davis about the Raiders in the past. He also works for Fox. He does primarily NFC games, but he's very up. And the reason why I didn't ask him about the Raiders is we got Lincoln Kennedy coming on for a full hour from 6 to 7, where that's all we're going to do is talk about the Raiders. So those are the reasons. I hope that suffices.
You know, you mentioned Clint Capela, and what a find was. Because I can remember when he wasn't playing, and then there was a playoff series, and he got a little bit of time, and I said, oh, wow, he's got some talent. I'll keep my eye on him, see how he does. And his progression has just been real. That's what I mean by finding a player that can be productive, and they found one in Clint Capela.
Well, again, you know, he's – doesn't score a lot, but when he does, he doesn't miss shots. He's shooting something like 63% from the floor, but that's not what he's out there for. You know, he's out there to rebound. He's out there to do, you know, all the other things, and he does it well. Doug?
Set picks, all of that. Yeah. It's 5:44. Time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the entire family, Grant.
All right. We'll take the break and be right back. Don't forget the Nation with Lincoln Kennedy coming up in just a little bit. But we want to get to Gary. Hello, Gary. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Grant and Doug. Hey, regarding the outside shooting, it seems to me that Bellini, the year before he came over here, and then Apollo last season had good shooting percentages. Then they come to the Kings and they drop. Do you think that that's more attributable to the style of offense that we play? Then perhaps we're not giving the outside shooters good looks. Doesn't seem like we have much of an inside-out game.
I don't think so because, you know, I mean, say what you want about George Karl, but if you're a shooter and you can't play in his style, I mean, come on. So, and Marco Bellinelli, I think he just had a bad year. Now, in Aaron Aflalo's case, he's had a lot of up-and-down years since he left Orlando. So he wasn't very good in Portland, you know, New York up and down. So with him... You know, and you got to remember, Marco Bellinelli came from a championship-caliber team in San Antonio.
Yeah.
It's a great question, but the fact that you've got two different coaches, I would say the answer to the question, no, it has nothing to do with the style of play.
And in the words of Jerry Reynolds, Grant, no one ever tries to miss a shot.
Right.
Well, you know, the thing that does concern me is on offense, a lot of times it seems like Cousins is starting pretty close to the top of the key. And very rarely does it seem that when he gets the ball down low that it kicks back out. We very rarely see an inside-out game to open up the spot shooters. You have any take on that?
You know, the double – I mean, he's a willing passer. So a lot of times you're going to find yourself wide open if you're around because it doesn't really necessarily matter if he's at the top or if he's – or if he's in the post, because some of the times when he's at the top now, I'm seeing him pump fake and put the ball on the floor. When that second guy runs at him, he's kicking it out. I mean, to your very first point, the bottom line, guys just they have to figure out a way to knock down shots because they are getting some open looks at the basket.
Yeah. Well, hey, I appreciate the take. It seems to me if they could get that going a little bit, we could start winning a significant amount of games.
So. All right. Agreed.
Thank you for the call. Thanks. Appreciate it. 339-1140. Again, that's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. The final day of Kevin Johnson as the mayor of Sacramento. He was in Oakland for the vote on a non-binding agreement that passed for a new stadium in Oakland. And Kevin Johnson just put out via Twitter, "Might look back at my tenure and believe that I left the city just a little bit better." I would concur with that.
Yes, and I would say downtown is absolutely bustling. It is it's beautiful to see, Grant. I remember we used to go to Morton's and, you know, down there, and that was pretty much it. Now you got a brand-new arena, and things are blossoming around there.
Yeah, his first – and I was remiss. I didn't realize it was a two-page text. He said, "And it's my hope that at the end of my final day – after two terms in office, that the people of this great city might look back at my tenure and believe that I left the city just a little bit better." So that's from Mayor Johnson, who is giving the keys to the office to Daryl Steinberg. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm well, Grant. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for calling.
All right. You know, I'm first of all, I'm a huge Kings fan, have been for a long time, because I love watching the world's greatest athletes move. I played a lot of basketball in my life, nothing beyond high school, you know, except intramurals and city league and stuff like that. But I did end up coaching a high school team for 3 years. And one thing I always talked to him about was ball movement. And, Doug, you can relate to this, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Setting screens, back doors, moving the ball around. And I always told him, I said, hey, if you work for a shot, you take the shot.
Created must be taken. A lot of times, I say this a lot, when you watch the Kings, watch after someone passes the ball what they do. And if they're not moving, if they're not cutting, if they're not setting a pick, we're usually not going to get good offense.
Exactly. So we used to call that a throw. You know, you create a little one-on-one and then you'd throw it, right? Well, I'd like to coin a phrase right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to call it a throw-up.
Uh-oh. Throw-up.
Because it makes me sick. When Rudy Gay is probably the most guilty. I love the guy, and he's playing probably better than he ever has. But he tends to ISO and go one-on-one and then throw up. And it's like, oh, why? Why do you do that? And he's not alone. You know, DeMarcus does it sometimes. What do you think of that as far as – do you think it's just that they get to the point in the shot clock where they have to create?
You know, I understand what you're saying. You're talking about getting low in the shot clock, like under 7 seconds, and then you just got to shoot the ball.
Right.
Not so much, because what did you do before that? I'm talking about easy shots. A lot of times, Grant watches this a lot, and he'll see other teams get really good in easy shots, and we struggle offensively. And I think of a lot of it is the lack of movement. Early in the season,
right,
Jaeger had them moving and different things, and it looked a lot better. Right now, not so much.
All right, David, thank you very much. Oh, sorry, David. I didn't realize you were wanted to add something, but thank you very much for the call. We get to another David. Hello, David.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
What's happening?
All right, man. I just want to say that the Orlando Magic traded Shaquille O'Neal. We should never, ever trade the best big guy in the league. It would be totally ridiculous.
Preach.
What we need to do is put talent around him. You see how him and Matt Barnes just got in trouble the other day? Yeah, that's because they're hanging out together. That's because they're of like, they're of the same ilk. These guys really want to win.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. Goodbye. All right, you got a time read for us?
Yes, I do. It is 5:55. Time to go to RC Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone, an entire family, Grant.
All right. When we come back, it's The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy right here on Sports 1140.